Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Rick Kogan. The show is called After Hours. My guest for this first hour is an old friend, Irene Michaels, who said at one point, and I love this quote, "I live life to the fullest. I'm very adventurous and enjoy exploring and reinventing myself all the time. So there isn't anything I feel I cannot tackle." Irene, welcome to the show. You have tackled a ton of stuff. Let's go back to you learning to dance at 11 years old. I'm just here specifically to talk the hook, and maybe we'll get your husband on to say why, how he invented this Our House concert series that's going around.
Sure.
But I want to talk about you first. Why'd you start dancing? I mean, just because it was something to do?
No. Well, at the age of 10, I went to a dance studio with my cousin, and she was taking dance lessons, tap lessons, ballet lessons, jazz lessons.
Yeah.
And I fell immediately in love with it. I was fascinated. And so I wanted to also take lessons, and my mother thought, well, I don't know, you're sort of young, but I decided I wanted to do that. She said, okay, go for it. And I started dancing, taking lessons about 10 and a half years old.
Wow.
And I actually danced up until I was 40, which is old for a dancer.
Yeah, no kidding. Danced professionally.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Where did this happen? Where were you brought up?
I was brought up on the west side of Chicago.
Where about?
Sacramento and Polk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real west.
Yeah, that is the west side. And you took to it immediately, right? I mean,
yes.
Did you say, you know, there's always something I've felt when people are young and they hear applause, that it kind of becomes almost like a narcotic for some people. Do you know what I mean? Was it like that for you to perform in front of an audience?
Well, when I first started dancing, no, I just loved the art. But then, as I grew into it and I started appearing in front of audiences, yes, it's very addicting.
What did your parents think about that? I mean, at what point did you say, you know, and the other interesting thing is always in any art, whether it's theater or writing or dancing or singing, that at some point you say to yourself, man, maybe I could do this my entire life and make a living at it. You're certainly not at 10 and a half. You're not saying, wow, I can do this, make a living at it. You don't even know what a living is at that point.
Correct.
But at what point do you start to take it really seriously as something that might be a career?
I became very seriously involved about probably not till I was 20.
Were you in college?
No, I didn't go. I went just to 2 years of college. I didn't graduate college.
Same here. What made you start to think, well, this could be something, my life?
I was dedicated. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I took lessons, maybe 12 lessons a week.
Oh, my God.
So I took a lot of lessons. And
Were your parents both, were they supportive of this?
My
because
father
sometimes
was.
They go, why don't you be a nurse? Go teach school. What's the matter with you dancing all the time?
Yeah, my father was very supportive. He loved show business. My mom was worried that I'd go on the road and anything could happen then.
Well, that's true. Well, your mom was certainly not wrong. So when did you get your first professional job?
I guess I probably was still in high school, and I danced with a group called the Powell Academy of Dancers.
I've heard that.
Yeah, she was a great gal, Clara Powell, mm-hmm. who taught me. I was her protege, and I studied with her since I was a little girl. And she had a chorus line of girls that would go out in different clubs at that time, with the College Inn was still going on at the Pump Room,
yeah,
and had all these different places.
Sure. And what kind of dance would you do? I mean, you say a chorus line.
Yeah, I was in the chorus.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Backing up other performers?
Yeah. Solo artists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how interesting. Like who?
Like J-Lo. Like she used to do.
Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you started saying, okay, I can make a living at this. How do you transition? Because I know Irene Michaels it's not a checkered career. It's a multifaceted career. Somehow dancing then led to acting, did it not?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, actually, after dancing, I started modeling.
Oh.
Somebody had just said to me, you know, you should get into modeling. It's not something I thought of doing, but then I started to do it, and I didn't know one thing about modeling. And I actually became very good at it.
Did you have a mentor in that? Like this woman was your sort of dance mentor? Or did you just...
I did. My mentor in modeling was Jim Parks.
Okay.
He was a very famous photographer here, like Skribniewski was and some
Were you doing fashion advertising?
Actually, I started with fashion, but then I ended up doing lingerie, like Victoria's Secret.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. You still have those pictures? Just joking.
To remind me, of course.
Well, to remind people who saw them. Did you like it? Modeling can be a weird business, too. I mean, it is, you know, not everybody becomes a supermodel, and even if you're a successful model, it can somehow, it's a tough racket, isn't it?
It's very tough, and when I first started modeling, I really didn't like it because it was just me and the camera. It was boring to me, where as a dancer, you were with a live audience,
exactly.
And you had people, you could relate and connect to them, you could see that they like you. With a camera and a photographer, you just go into the studio, they take your picture, and you leave. It wasn't as exciting.
Was there any kind of jolt for you when you would see yourself in a print ad? If you would see a catalog or whatever you were appearing in, was there a jolt for you in that, too? Did you say, wow, I look pretty good here?
No, I was always very critical. I never looked good enough.
We are talking this entire hour with Irene Michaels, who has had a fascinating and multifaceted career. We're going to drag her husband, Arnie Granite, up here later to talk because he invented this Our House thing. He's one of the great, great entrepreneurs in the entertainment business in this town that has ever been in this town, frankly. You'll get all the information you need about Our House, and you will hear more. We've not even gotten onto TV. You were in General Hospital, for God's sake. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back, all you nice listeners out there. I'm talking this whole hour with Irene Michaels. We have gotten to, she is, fell in love with dancing early on the West Side. While she was also off the air, she was telling me she went to St. Patrick High School. A lot of friends there. And that she then got in, someone recognized how beautiful she was and said, hey, you should be a model. And she started modeling. Modeling then led to something else, didn't it? It led to real showbiz, right?
Yes, I started taking acting lessons.
Where?
Here in Chicago. In Chicago, it was on LaSalle Street, Act One Studios.
Sure.
And I was there for 4 or 5 years. Then I went to DePaul, and I studied acting there for about a semester and a half.
Did you like? That's a lot of studying. What was it that made you want to be an actor?
I liked the isolation of having to think about what you were doing and
sure.
actually perform it and perform other person's words
sure.
and dialect. So it was very interesting to me. And it wasn't because I wanted to be a star,
right.
but I liked the whole process of acting because I was, again, connecting with
well,
other
it's another,
people.
You know, it's another way, just as dancing was, and I know you weren't really high on modeling, but what you're talking about so far, all these ways of self-expression, you get to express yourself through the words of others. What was your first acting job?
A movie called Mickey One with Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
Was it Warren Beatty? Yes,
yeah.
It was Warren Beatty.
Sure, filmed in Chicago.
Right.
What did you play in Mickey One? Mickey One is one of my favorite movies.
I think I probably was a bartender or something. I had maybe 3 lines.
Did you get to meet Warren Beatty?
Yes.
How was he?
So-so.
He's pretty cute in those days
was,
now, I'll tell you that.
He's very full of himself, but very nice.
Well, he probably deserved to be.
Yeah, he's handsome.
Did you think to yourself, and that's a pretty big role for your first role.
It was.
Did you think at any point, well, maybe I can be a movie star, even though it was a small part?
I did. I thought, I like this. I like the whole atmosphere of
sure.
it.
Sure.
And what I liked also about acting, when you're in a studio situation and you're with other actors, they become your family.
It's a family.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And
as opposed to your modeling career where it was just you, basically you and a camera.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, how interesting. So you did Mickey One, and then what?
Then I did Mahogany with Diana Ross.
Did you have an agent here?
Yes, at the time was Shirley Hamilton.
I knew Shirley well. I knew Shirley well. I worked with her daughter, Lori, at the old Daily.
I think they're still in business.
They are. They are at the old Daily News. How did you wind up in TV then? You did a couple movies, and then did you make an immediate jump to the soap opera world?
Not right away. I did TV, local TV here in Chicago. At that time, there wasn't many TV shows being filmed.
The Bozo show, yeah. Bozo.
I remember I knew Robert Conrad for quite some time,
sure.
And he was in Chicago doing a TV series called Married to the Mob.
Oh, yeah.
And so he had asked me to audition for that, and I did, and so I became the bride.
Wow.
And I did several TV shows. And then I decided, well, if I was going to really stick to this, I really would have to move to L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I put some feelers out. I sent my resume around to different agents. Two of them had picked me up, and I went on an audition for General Hospital. And I immediately got it. I was on the show like 4 years.
What were you, a nurse? What
did
you play?
Yes, I was a nurse. A wicked nurse.
Not to sound sexist, but what were you, a nurse on General Hospital? No, they made me a doctor. They made me a doctor. What was that like? That must have been the whole, what I know of the soap opera world, I basically know only from the movie Tootsie. But it's steady work. It's very visible work, because especially in the day, those shows were incredibly popular.
Yeah, and actually, General Hospital is still very popular. I remember as a child, I would be sitting with my dolls and my blanket with my mother and watching General Hospital, because that was her favorite show.
Wow.
And then all these years later, I was able to have her on the set and meet all her favorite stars.
She must have gone nuts.
Yeah. So it was very exciting.
Did she say to herself, finally, those dance lessons have paid off. Those dance lessons have paid off. So that was that's a good, steady gig. It lasted for 4 years?
Yes. I was on 3 days a week.
Wow. You're living in where's that filmed, in Manhattan?
No, that's
California?
In Sherman Oaks, California.
Oh, okay. And you were living out there?
Yes.
And doing the whole kind of, were you auditioning for films also, or is it, this is, you know, working 3 days a week on a soap opera would be pretty demanding.
Yeah, there's no time.
Yeah.
And you really don't have a lot of time to study the script. You get it either the night before or the day of.
So, the glamorous world of show business is actually very hard work.
Very hard.
That's what you seem to be telling me. So, why did you leave General Hospital?
My mother became ill here in Chicago, and so I felt that I should come back and help my family take care of her, which I did.
Wow.
And then I was going to go back, and then somebody else became ill, and then she passed away, so then I stayed to take care of my dad, stick with my family. And then I just opened up my own modeling agency when I was here
in
when
Chicago.
I didn't go back to L.A.
Yeah.
I stayed here. And I just took all my experiences and put them all in one little pot and said, okay, I model, I dance, I can promote, I know how to market.
Right.
I said, so why don't I just open up my own business, which I had a very thriving modeling agency for like 18 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Even your... You know, as you know out there, ladies and gentlemen, I will do research for a show, and I barely, even the stuff that's out there barely touches on all that you've done. What was the agency called? Was it called Showtime?
Yes.
Showtime. And how many women worked for you in that agency?
40.
Wow. Wow. Where's your office?
Out of my house.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Shoestring operation.
Yeah, shoestring, or at my parents' basement.
But that made you, I mean, that made you, in a sense, I mean, your next career then was as a business entrepreneur,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Wow. Where did you find time, before we have Arnie on later in the hour to talk about our house and promote this, what's been a very successful sort of small concert tour. Arnie Granite, one of the founders of Jam Production, was used to, I've seen shows of theirs in, like, Soldier Field, for God's sake. This is a more intimate thing, and we'll talk about that. And then we will also get into Irene Michaels, the singer. Was it fun to run this modeling agency?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah.
I was very sad to let go of it.
Why did you?
There were too many others that have come up, came up, and the competition was.
And you're running it out of your house.
Yes.
So that would be something. So then, what? Talk to me about your equestrian life, because your equestrian life is a very serious part of Irene Michaels.
Yes.
When did you first get on a horse? Was it at Lincoln Park Zoo?
No, it was at, I think it was at a lot called, it was on First Avenue in
Maywood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it, God, what was that called?
Well, there was a Kiddyland there.
Kiddyland.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was
at that Kiddyland at North Avenue.
Yes,
and
they
First
had like
Avenue
three live horses there.
And that, how old were you?
Oh, I was like 12.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. I don't know many people who have fallen in love with horses. You obviously were hooked.
Yes.
Why? I mean, they're beautiful animals. There's no question about that.
Oh, I love animals, for starters. And they're so regal and majestic. There was something else I wanted to do and conquer. And I wanted to own my own horse. And I would have to take the bus, two buses and a train to get to Kiddyland at the time.
So your only horse experience was at the Kiddyland for
a
while.
Yeah, originally. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And when did you get your own horse?
I finally purchased my own horse. I was about, not till I was 30.
Wow.
And I was leasing horses at the time.
And where would you're obviously a talented and award-winning equestrian, are you not?
Yes, I've won many awards.
Where would you keep the horses? This is fascinating to me.
I keep the horses at a place called Wayne Equestrian, which is in Wayne, Illinois.
Yeah.
And since then they've moved.
How often would you ride? As much
three times a week. I also was in a formal hunt. So
what does that mean?
That is like England or Ireland, where they
hunt
and the dogs. They you let the beagles go. You can't call them dogs because it's like a sin.
Right.
So you have to call them beagles, the hounds.
Okay,
you call
the
them hounds. Is what it is. You let the hounds loose, and then the horses chase the hounds, and then we jump over all the fences to get to the fox, which is the scent of a fox. It's not a real fox. And then there's a kill at the end. 2 hours later, the master of the hunt blows the horn, and we all, yahoo!
Were you, before we take a break, were you a natural at this, or did you have to take lessons to learn how to rise
well,
up
I
in
took
the equestrian
lessons,
world?
Yeah, to be a jumper, and you could ride a horse, but I wanted to jump.
This is fascinating. Irene Michaels has had an amazing career. We have not even hit upon her books, her eye on the scene, company. It's a multifaceted company. We'll talk more about that. We will talk to Arnie Granite about the real purpose for this show is Irene is part of this Our House concert presentation that's been very, very successful so far, and it's going to be at Davenport's on February 11th. We'll talk about that. Right now, I'll give this to Krista Flores, and she'll give you some commercials. Welcome back. Thank you, Krista, for waking me up and getting me back on the air. I'm here for another half hour with Irene Michaels. We have talked about her falling in love with dancing, her being on the soap General Hospital for 3 years, starting her own modeling agency in Chicago, falling in love going to Kiddyland, the old Kiddyland that used to be at North Avenue and First Avenue in Maywood, across from Maywood Racetrack, and falling in love with horses there. That's probably incredibly unusual. She's been an award-winning equestrian for the rest of her life, ever since then. Then, Irene, before we get into the latest adventure, which has you singing, you started I on the Scene, the letter I on the Scene. What was the seed of this? How did this start? Because it's a multi-platform kind of operation, isn't it?
Yes. I was doing events and going to different award shows.
Right.
And I was interviewing celebrities, and I worked the red carpet. And I gleaned an awful lot of information from all being backstage.
Sure.
So I thought I'd probably write about it because it was very interesting. And I started a website, I guess maybe 2008, called I Am the Scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a luxury website and lifestyle. We have four categories: I Am the Scene, I Am Beauty, I Am the Horse, which is equestrian.
Right, right.
I Am Travel. And it's been very successful. It's global. We have a great following. And it was one way to me to have a platform to speak about some of the things that I've done.
It seems like, on one level, it's taking everything that you have been passionate about in your life and career and putting it all in kind of one home.
Pretty much, Rick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could read about it. It's very popular. We have new material all the time.
You can go, ladies and gentlemen. It's the letter I, okay? IOnTheScene.com to get all sorts of information. And then finally, before we get into the showbiz aspect again and singing, you have a book, which was published a couple years ago, right?
Yes.
How did that come to be?
Again, I took all the information from all my experiences and wanted to share it with women. The book is geared for women over 50. It has a ton of secrets on how to look beautiful, stay young,
feel
fit.
One of the things about, and I'm sure Arnie will agree, one of the things about your photograph on the cover of this thing, you see living beautifully and luxuriously beyond 50. You look like you're 25 years old.
Thank you.
You do. You look like you're 25 now, too. this has been a bestseller, has it not?
Yes.
And why do you think when you meet, there isn't a lot, are women over 50 sort of ignored in general, you know, with everything, advertising, commercials, and everything else seems geared to me, to younger people? Men and women.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of product out there that is geared for women over 50.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be young.
Sure.
And everybody wants to be inspired.
Sure.
And there's a ton of product that is geared just for that. So and we haven't been forgotten.
Well, this is just, you have a jacket quote from Christy Hefner and Jill St. John on the back of this book.
Yes.
Jill St. John says, my husband Robert Widener and I had the pleasure of meeting Irene shortly after she married our friend Arnie Granite. We were immediately taken by Irene's spirit and beauty. She and I share much of the same philosophy about aging and life, also horses and dogs. Her well-thought-out and meticulously researched book is a must for those reaching what used to be called, this is great, quote, a woman of a certain age, end quote. One look at Irene dispels that term completely. Thanks to Irene, this book tells us how to experience aging and how to be the best you can be. What woman could ask for more? That's a pretty good, I've read a lot of jacket quotes. That's a pretty good jacket quote, Irene Michaels. So let's start, and we'll get Arnie in here right after the commercial in a few minutes. But you sing, too. How does that happen?
Well, while I was dancing and
yes.
acting,
yes.
I also was taking singing lessons.
Wow.
And I started singing.
Were you a singer as a kid? Did you sing as a
kid? Yeah. I actually sang at the clubs around Chicago 25, 30 years ago, maybe even more.
Wow.
When that circuit was big.
There were some good clubs around Chicago 25 or 30
yeah.
years ago. And what, jazz?
Jazz, yes. Like Carole King type music, soft rock.
Would you?
Some cabaret.
Did you perform as a solo act?
Yes. I used to sing and play guitar.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you learn to play the guitar?
There's something else
at Kittyland they taught me. They taught me at Kittyland.
I'm still learning.
Yeah, there was a guitar teacher at Kittyland. How did you take up the guitar? And at what age?
Oh, I took that up. Let's see. I started playing probably at 30.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a little older.
Wow. Wow. And did you take to it? Do you like playing the guitar?
I do like playing, but it's so time-consuming, you know.
That's also, you know, one of the things about you, Irene, is you along the entire course of your career, you have jumped in. And it goes back to that wonderful quote that I read before. I live life to the fullest. I'm very adventurous and enjoy exploring and reinventing myself all the time. So there isn't anything I feel I cannot tackle. That is absolutely true, because you've tackled some very tough fields. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Dancing, acting, singing. It can't be easy to be an equestrian champion either, can it?
No, that's very hard. But I guess if I have a fault, it's wanting to do too much. Because I want to do it all.
Well, I don't think that's a fault at all. We're going to take a commercial break here, if that's okay, Krista. And then we can get Arnie Granite on here to explain to you and me what Irene is doing in a show. Another step in her career. It's called Our House. It'll be at Davenport's, and we will give you all the information you need to go see the next one, which is on February 11th. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back. We are going to conclude this show talking to Irene Michaels about the latest step in what has been a fascinating and multifaceted career. She's joined by her husband, an old friend of mine. He does not do a lot of interviews, because he told me just before we went on, he came up here to get near the microphone. He goes, last radio interview I did, Rick, was with Eddie Schwartz. I loved Eddie Schwartz. And he's coming out of his radio retirement to talk about Our House. Our House is a concert presentation that will take place, the latest iteration of this will take place on February 11th at Davenport, which is a great, 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 they call it a piano bar and cabaret, I call it a nightclub, but I'm old-fashioned that way. Arnie, what is the seed of Our House? How did Our House even start? Arnie co-founded Jam Productions and is used to much larger venues over the last 50 years than Davenport's. I remember Soldier Field, for instance. What's the seed of this, Arnie? What is Our House?
Well, the seed is my wonderful wife, Irene Michaels, number one. Mm-hmm. Irene came to me years ago, and in all the things you were talking about in the last hour, she says, I'd like to do a show. I went, okay, great, what's it got to do
with me? I have a horse, and I have a guitar.
I know where this is going, and I said, well, what are you going to do? She says, well, I'd like to sing, and I told her, if she's going to do that, and if you want me to get involved, you got to go take some lessons and get up to your top of your game.
Sure.
So for 2 years, she went every week to get lessons in singing, and she really helped hone her voice and find her space in that vein of entertainment. So now I have to come through with a show.
Yeah, you got to put up.
Right. You got to put up here. I got to be a producer and a husband at the same time.
Yeah, it's a tough combination.
I'll tell you, tough crowd. So I thought about it for a while, and this is right at the beginning of the pandemic, early
2020, March. Yeah.
And so, first of all, no one's going out.
No, I mean, nobody.
I have
those
no
days.
Shows. There are no concerts, no plays, nothing going on. And I thought, okay, if we're going to put this, let's make it professional. And I actually have never done really local acts, besides support acts for major shows in the early days. And I was sitting at a show that Irene took me to, and I found saw another young talent. His name is Sonny Luca. And I realized, there's a lot of great talent in Chicago.
No question.
And you know what? Nobody gets the chance to show off and do their stuff. So my mind got me into going, okay, let's put a show together of really talented local people. Sort of like, I know it's aging me, but the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
A talent show, and have everybody do one, two numbers. My wife, Irene, would do three or four, and Sonny ended up doing more. And we had a violinist named Patricia Treacy.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I found her, and she played at Biden's inauguration.
Wow.
She's played at the White House. She's played for the first orchestra in Ireland, the first violinist. And we put it together, and now I had to come up with a name for the show.
Yeah.
So, of course, I went to bed at night not knowing, and I woke up and I went, let's call it Our House. Why? Because every venue we go into, we can say, hey, welcome to our house.
That's very cool.
And I love the song, Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Sure.
And
sure.
We're adding that to the show. So put a conglomeration, built the show. My wife is featured. Local talents featured. And
well,
don't charge a lot of money. We've done 5 shows last year. They all sold out.
Where did you do the show? I know you did. You've done
did
the jazz showcase.
Jazz showcase.
Right.
We did it out in
Lay Piano.
Uh-huh. We did one out at Ron Onesti's place out in
Arcata Theater.
And the jazz showcase, and now Davenport's. And we plan to do it maybe, you know, once every quarter, or maybe even pick it up because we're getting interest now. People are, oh, wow, I saw that show.
And is it? Really, it's good. A one-time show. I mean,
one-time show. Every show is different. We've had tap dancers. We've had piano players. We've had guitarists who played with Miles Davis.
And I'm going to ask you both now.
Bob Davis.
I know who Irene Michaels is. I know Fred Simon, but tell me about Fred Simon.
Fred Simon, as you know, our dear friend.
Yeah, sure.
A piano player and. He joined our troupe, last time was his first show. And now he's in the troupe, and he's a funny guy, and he's helps accompany all the artists, plus he plays one song himself solo.
Who is Yvonne Gage?
Yvonne is a singer extraordinaire who has backed up singers. Boy, who is she backed up?
Aretha Franklin.
Oh.
I mean,
that's a big enough name.
Let's start with Aretha Franklin and then go on from there.
Yeah, she's so good.
She's wonderful. And she's a local. She has her own record.
And Sonny Luca is the guy that Irene took you to see that blew you away, right?
Actually, I got to be honest with you. I shouldn't say this story, but I was sitting there and I've done over 100,000 shows, and I met a local show, and I'm going, oh, and I'm starting to actually get a little tired, let's say.
Sure.
And all of a sudden I hear this song. I woke up and there's this guy in state singing really good, and I went to Irene and went, I'm going to manage that kid.
Wow.
And so now I'm managing Sonny Luca, and he's got the one thing that I and you have noticed throughout our careers, and Irene, you either have it.
Totally.
Or you don't have it.
Or you don't. Exactly.
And, you know, Mick Jagger has it.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Politicians, some of them.
Some.
Right, wrong, different.
Some. A small, increasingly small crowd of them.
But stars, sports stars, et cetera.
And Bob Davis and Michael Austin, who are they?
Bob Davis has played, he's an excellent guitarist. And he used to play with Miles Davis, he's played with the best, and he's just so good. And Michael Austin plays an Irish drum, and there's a name for it.
All I can tell you is, he does a solo, and I'm going, this ain't going to work. And every time he plays, he gets like a standing ovation. He does like a 3-minute. I can't explain it. You'll see it at the next show.
Well, I love the next show is the next
February
show
11th
place.
At Davenport's at 8 p.m. And it's now Davenport's isn't large, and we're all getting close to almost selling most of our tickets out. So please, it's very limited. It will sell out. Please get your tickets.
DavenportsPianoBar.com will take you to this thing. How often do you, this is wild. It is like the Ed Sullivan Show. How often do you rehearse, Irene?
Quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I rehearse individually with some of the musicians, and then we all rehearse together. And then I'm always learning new songs. I have a piano. I put the songs on my piano, and I rehearse probably every day.
What can you give someone a tease and a taste of what you'll be singing at Davenport's? Not sing. I don't want you to sing. Just name what songs might you be doing.
Oh, well, we are doing some new original songs. Sonny wrote a few new songs. I'm doing a song by Stevie Nicks. And there's some old standards by Sammy Davis Jr. That you'd love.
Fantastic. How do you find, I'm very curious now about, you know, you both have a lot of friends in this town, and I'm sure a lot of friends have come to the shows, but there has to be newcomers to these shows too, and I'm very interested in, what's the makeup of the crowd?
It's a mixture.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them at the beginning were our friends.
Sure.
And then word spreads. And in my business, there's 5 key words when I do a show, whether it be a Broadway show or whatever. And the 5 key words are, after someone goes to a show, is, you've got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
If I say to somebody, how'd you like the show? And they say, you know, well,
yeah,
I'm
right.
in the toilet.
Yeah, right, so right,
that's
right.
And so when you walk away from this, I've never had all the people come and go, God, I did not expect this to be, honestly, this good. And it is. Chicago has talent. Matter of fact, I think part of what I want to do is do like an America's Got Talent, do a Chicago's Got Talent, and have people audition for a place in our house.
That would be fun. That would be fun. I'm just so taken with this because it is also something that I think is a huge, it could be a very valuable kind of thing, because I think one of the things that people have really missed during this pandemic lockdown is the ability to be with other people.
Yes, I'll tell you what, the first show we did, it was in March or February of
2020?
Yeah, I think
so.
Wow. And it was when no one was going out.
No kidding.
And people came in. They didn't know what to do. They had masks. You don't have a mask. Of course, we had to do all the legal things you had to do to cover yourself with the mask, especially then. And the main thing I got out of that was how much people came up and went, this is amazing.
Yeah.
We've never been out in 7 months or 20 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's just like living again. You know, in the world we live in, we need some positivity. And I believe this is positive.
Irene, even though it is your husband's idea, this seems to be a perfect fit for you, does it not?
Is it the show or my husband?
Both. Both.
Yes. He's Arnie's my star, and I'm so happy that we work together. And I've always wanted to, and for me to sit there and perform with him and the audience looking at me, if you think the pressure's on, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yes, and I'm very proud of all the work that we've done together and with the group. So,
Arnie, what's it like to see her on stage? Because you know her in the most intimate, close thing, but to see her perform must be a special kick for you.
It is, for two things. One, she's a beautiful lady inside and out.
Yes.
And you know, I wake her up at 3 in the morning, she's still nice, and that's priceless.
Wow.
And I got to tell you something, when
that's
I watch her on stage.
That's love. That's love, ladies and gentlemen.
When I see her on stage, I would say I get a tear in my eye.
That's Arnie Granite, not on the radio since the glory days of Chicago Eddie Schwartz, who was a wonderful guy.
Great guy.
A very, very wonderful guy. And Irene Michaels, who is Miss Everything, man. She's done everything. Well, what was your first movie, Irene? Well, there's a thing called Mickey 1. I was in it with Warren Beatty. You two are great. I've known you for a while. I've known Arnie forever, and I've met you more recently. But you two are really something.
Thank you
for having
us. Thank you. This is really a fun hour.
Cool.
Really a fun hour.